Otherwise, I'll forget. That's the thing. Yeah. So.
Hello, Tres. Nice to see you.
Hi.
Evening,
Hi.
David.
Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening, Roy.
Hello, man.
I just unmuted you. David's muted again.
It's probably for the best.
Yeah. Thank you.
That was coming.
Probably true.
That was coming.
You know, she comes here on a Friday afternoon and insults everybody.
You'd be upset if I did anything, Hilda.
Indeed, indeed. Well, thank you, Trez, in advance of your...
You haven't seen it yet. Don't what? Get too excited.
That's why I thought, thank you in advance. I might think about it afterwards.
Good idea. Thank you very much, David.
Thank you in advance. It's great to see you.
Yes, I'm sorry I've missed them. I was just saying to Gerben, I've got a friend who's having a bit of a tough time, and the only time she can catch up is Friday. So I've kind of been seeing her, but I've been keeping up with the website, so I've seen what everybody's been up to.
Good.
Good. Good. This friend's not pregnant. What your professional skills?
No.
No. Excellent. Oh, Walker's crisps.
Oh, very nice.
Very nice, Ed.
You should share them.
I've seen a crisp packet. Who was holding them?
Peroni.
And a Peroni.
I thought it was Gary Lineker, but then I was let down.
Ah. Looks a bit wild outside.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had hail earlier this afternoon.
Yes, we did as well.
Yes.
Oh.
Linda's arrived. Good evening, Linda.
Hi. Everybody okay?
Yes.
Thank you.
What's that you're drinking, Linda?
Just a cup of tea.
No. I've got both ready. It depends what Tres comes out like, which I take first.
I'd keep the wine in hand if I were you.
Hello, Paul is a bit greedy, logging in twice.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Oh, nice to see Ray here anyway. Hi, Ray.
Lovely.
Hi.
Good evening.
Hi.
Evening, everyone.
Evening. Dave, Leslie.
Just a question for Roy. Roy, yeah. did you see the notice in from the RPS?
Yes, two. What were they?
Which one? About Lee Miller next week.
Oh, about Lee Miller?
About Lee Miller, yeah.
Yeah. I've seen it two or three times, actually, and I saw the full go the other day. And I've also heard a presentation by her son, and I've been to a couple of her exhibitions, so I might I might let this one go. But I think she's excellent. Mm.
I think they're showing the film, and there's a discussion afterward. But it's at 6 o'clock next Friday. It's only a fiver for anybody who hasn't seen any of it.
Yeah. No, it's not that. It's just that I've seen it quite a lot of times. Mm. Yeah, it's well worth seeing if you haven't seen it, I think.
Mm. Hello, folks.
Hi, Les. Hi. All right.
Hi, Les.
Hi.
Hello there, Les.
Good evening, Keith. Nice to see you.
Good evening.
Hello, stranger.
Alan. Well, it's a busy night. There's 24 people in, although Paul Burden's still in there twice, so...
How's he managed that?
Yeah, he must have got a mobile phone or an iPad.
He's doubly keen.
Yeah.
Too many buttons.
I use my phone for the audio and my PC for the visual.
And Paul, how are you? Are you feeling better? Can you unmute yourself? Or?
There you are. You're unmuted.
How are you, Paul?
I'm getting a little bit better. It's just a long haul. It's going to take a while.
Indeed.
I still feel as if you have this like a cold effect.
Yeah.
But
you feel whacked after being for a short walk?
Oh, I went for a walk yesterday. Now I fell asleep when I sat there for about an hour and a half.
We got back.
Yeah.
Well, it's lovely to see everybody. We've got a good turnout tonight. Excellent. With
Time we live in, 8 o'clock.
Have we got Trez is here? Who else is? Is Les and Fred here? I can't remember.
I've just seen Fred.
Les is
subliminally,
there.
I think. He just shot across the screen.
Oh dear, painful.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Fine.
We can. Well, good evening, everybody. Shall we start? We have a slightly different evening tonight, where we have asked three members of the club to give a little presentation. So in other words, slightly longer than their normal members' night evening, just a bit more involved in what they get up to. And let's talk. We'll stick to photography, shall we? So they've got a little bit longer than normal. So perhaps about 20 minutes each, and maybe a question or two, if that's all right. So who's going first? Have we got any volunteers? So we've got Trez, Les, and Fred. Ladies first.
Fine by me,
Yes, it's a bit sexy.
Who have you got ready first? Gerben's not listening.
Sorry, you were saying, David, I was just distracted.
It's all right.
Yeah.
Who do you want to go first? Ladies first?
In the exact order that you mentioned them. That's fine by me.
Trez, Les, then Fred.
Yep.
Okay. Trez, thank you very much for joining us this evening. We've missed you the last few weeks.
I know. I've missed everybody as well.
Lying to your back teeth. So anyway, nice to see you. Over to you. Thank you very much for agreeing to do this tonight.
That's all right. Okay. So that's...
Do you have to share screen?
I'm screen sharing. That's how I'm doing mine. So... No jokes, David. Nocturnal pursuits. So I've really enjoyed looking at, kind of catching up with what people have been up to over the past few weeks. And I must admit, I had kind of lost my spark a bit for taking photos. And I think looking through this and deciding what I was going to talk about to re-spark my interest a little bit. And it made me think a bit about why I wanted to get into photography and what it was that I kind of liked about it and what I liked taking pictures of. And I think, for me, a lot of it's about taking pictures of things I don't really have complete control over. I like it when there's an element of luck, so you can plan it to the best of your ability, but at the end of the day, there's still going to be a randomness about it. So,
you mean like childbirth?
A bit like childbirth.
Yeah, okay.
I don't take photos of that, though, because that's I'd get sacked. So things to do with the weather and... nature and animals and the night sky, which is what I decided I would talk about today, because it's one of the things that I haven't really seen many people talk about, so I thought it might be something a bit different. I love it, but I find it really difficult and challenging, so I thought I'd maybe talk about some of the technical challenges that I've found as I've started to try and learn what I'm doing. So I haven't really been into photography for that long. I got my first kind of interchangeable lens camera about 5 years ago. And a few of us went up for a night at Kielder. So this was my first absolutely dreadful, awful attempt at taking a picture of the night sky. It was a beautifully clear night. We'd had a lovely night that, you know, the guys up there are great and, you know, they do some talks and then you can go out and use all of the telescopes and stuff. But I just could not get my camera to focus. It didn't matter what I did, I couldn't get it to focus. I was in manual focus. It was a crop sensor camera with a 12 millimeter prime on it, but it was a like an automatic focus lens. And I don't know if anybody, but the automatic focus lenses don't have a hard stop at infinity, so you can go beyond infinity with them. And so trying to get the manual focus, I just found almost impossible. And I came back with, I got so frustrated. So I had a lovely night, but I was tearing my hair out by the end of it. So, you know, this was the best of all of the dreadful photographs that I got on the first night that I attempted it. And you can just about see the Pleiades there. But it was all fuzzy and dreadful and horrible. So I went away and did a bit more reading and a bit more thinking about kind of what I would need to do if I wanted to make that better. Practiced a bit trying to kind of focus it in the day and then put markers on the lens and all the things that people gave us to, and I just couldn't get it to work. So I ended up buying a cheap secondhand purely manual lens that had a hard stop at infinity, and you need to fiddle a bit around infinity to work out how to get it to focus, but that was much, much better. So that was...
Do you need to focus on the sky because it's so far away? I would have thought you just put the lens on infinity and forgot about it.
So you can on the manual ones, but some of the...
The automatic ones will focus beyond
infinity. Yeah. So during the day, if you can focus on a really far street light or something, then that'll... Or even at night, if you focus on a light that's far away, then that's often good enough. But up in Kiel, there was nothing to focus on. I couldn't find anything bright to focus on. So this was with my kind of new old lens. And I don't know if you can just see it. It's really quite faint. But this was during the Perseids meteor shower. And I've just about caught three of them there, but they're really very faint. And I'd gone up to the old military road, I think, up in Northumberland to take that. So I sometimes, if it looks like it's going to be a clear night, I sometimes just take myself and a flask of coffee off and go and see if anything is about to appear. So that was kind of one of my first more successful attempts at trying to take a picture.
Yes, can I ask you, what sort of shutter speed did you use for that, you know?
I knew people would ask, so I've written them down.
Prepared?
I knew you'd ask tricky questions.
What sort of coffee did you have?
What sort of coffee? Well, I can't remember, actually, because it was a few years ago. I don't know what kind of coffee it was. I know I had Radio 2 in the car. Nice flask, decent tripod. That was with a 12mm, but on a crop sensor. It was ISO 1600 for 20 seconds at f2.
Right, thank you.
So how long you can shoot depends on how wide your lens is. I'm sure I'm preaching to the converted because everybody will know, but to avoid star trails, you can only shoot for so long before the stars start to go blurry. And the wider your lens is, the longer you can shoot. So if you're shooting with like a 50mm, you can only shoot for about 10 seconds before it all goes really blurry. Whereas if you've got a 12 or 14mm lens, you can shoot for kind of 30 seconds-ish before you start to get star trails and they don't look sharp anymore. So also up in Northumberland, that was one of my first attempts, in fact still one of my only attempts, because the weather all has to be perfect and it all has to be great and you have to not be knackered and be prepared to go out at silly o'clock. But that's the Milky Way up in Northumberland.
Brilliant.
So you can only see it at certain times of the year in the UK, so it's the Milky Way is generally visible kind of April to October, but clearly in the height of summer it never gets dark enough to get good pictures because you never get proper astronomical dark. So you have to kind of point to the south and the core's only visible at certain times. That's not of the core actually, because that was taken late October. So I do kind of quite like astronomy and having a look at stuff. So a few years ago I decided I would possibly not entirely sensibly treat myself to a telescope. So I got a telescope. It's a reflector telescope. It's enormous and heavy, which means that I don't take it out anywhere near as often as I should do. And it's not the ideal telescope to try and take photographs through. I use it mainly just to have a look and chill out in the garden with a cup of tea. But I did get... Yeah?
Does your telescope have an attachment on that you can put a camera on the end of it?
Yes, that's what that's from.
Oh.
So...
Wow.
You can attach virtually any... That's not using the eyepieces. That's just, it's taking the eyepiece out and putting what you call a T-tube in that you then just attach directly to your camera instead of a lens. So it's basically using the telescope as the lens for your camera.
Cheers. Cheers.
Yeah.
Oops. Cheers.
Hi, Peter.
Are you on the moon, Peter?
It's I. Don't know what's happening here.
Go on, I can hear you.
He's on Mars.
He's from Mars.
That's what it sounds like.
I think you're getting into this.
He's adding to the atmosphere.
Can I ask you a question, Peter?
Yeah, I was going to say
it. You jump the ground control?
You don't know what's happening. Yeah.
Major Peter.
Peter, have you got your device next to another device?
No.
Yeah, yes. Microphone's close to the speaker.
Had a job getting on because the internet crashed. I don't know what it's doing now.
Oh,
I can hear you enough, Peter.
What
chief you got in? I can't
now. Control the major tone.
Guys, I just suggest you continue.
Houston, we have a problem.
I know, we have. Maybe it's come back at the end. I know we skip back through them, can't I?
Yes.
Right. So I then decided that, because I do like taking pictures of the night sky, that some of my holidays and trips abroad would kind of be planned with that in mind a little bit. And this is where kind of the randomness starts to come in. So I decided that I'd seen some really lovely pictures of the Milky Way from Tenerife, because it's got Mount Teide, which is, you know, the volcano there. There's a hotel at the top of it that you can stay in. There's no light pollution up there. And because it's quite high, you can often get quite good star pictures because you get less refraction if you're at altitude, so you can often get kind of sharper pictures. Because it's near the equator, it's dark in June, the weather's generally good, so I thought, right, okay, let's do that. So me and my mum trotted off to, as you know, my poor mum gets dragged on all of these missions and made to stand outside at 3 o'clock in the morning. So we trotted off to Tenerife. And then there was a kalima. So a kalima is a sandstorm that blows in from the Sahara and it just obliterated everything. So, you know, the sky was just completely full of red dust and any light that you've got anywhere just totally lit it up, like the dust just lit up everywhere. So that was the attempt at the Milky Way, which clearly you can't see very well at all, but actually it's not very common to get the kalimas to the extent that they did. It was closing stuff down. There was red dust falling on everything. We'd hired a car and the car was a centimetre and a half thick of Sahara. So it made for some relatively interesting photos and it just meant I had to change what I was planning to take pictures of. So the Milky Way clearly wasn't going to work. But I thought it might work to get some rock formations because the clouds were a funny colour. And speaking of Peter being on Mars, I just thought it looked like quite a weird Martian.
Excellent.
Yeah, I like that.
Like a funny Martian landscape. There's a couple of them there. So the next attempt, or one of the next attempts, was when we went to America a couple of years ago. And I'd planned to try and take some pictures overnight in Archer's National Park, but actually when we got there, they'd closed it overnight. So it was open during the day, but they closed it at dusk. and kind of ferried everybody out because they were doing some roadworks or something, which was slightly frustrating. So I got some of the pictures that I like best in Joshua Tree. So we had a planned astronomy night with a guy there who would take you into the depths of the Joshua National Park with a telescope. So we'd booked him and that was good. And we got there early and sunset's beautiful there. So we're taking a few pictures at sunset. And then we spotted a guy climbing this rock. And I thought, I wonder if he'll get to the top, because that would be quite nice. And I was hoping he'd do it quite slowly so it would be darker by the time he got there. And he did oblige, which was quite nice of him. So there's some guy sat on the top of that rock. And I just thought that the trees make quite an interesting background for a skyscape. So that, again, is the Milky Way in Joshua Tree. You're relatively limited as to clearly the direction you can take it in. That's my little car parked there that we used to take us all over the place. And my other plan for Joshua Tree was to do some star trails. That's one of the reasons that would hooked it, because I thought if I can set my camera up, set it away to do some star trails and then ignore it and go and talk to the man with the telescope, that would be a good way to spend the night. Unfortunately, what I hadn't realised is Joshua Tree's right under the path of, I think it's LAX. So of about 300 photographs, I think I've got about five that haven't got a plane in them. So there was absolutely no way you could kind of fit together a star trail picture because there were just airplanes everywhere. But never mind, never mind. Honestly. And sometimes you find them in the funniest places, don't you? When I was annoyed that Archers was closed, I'd driven past and was spotted just this quite remote car park. I thought, well, I wonder if that'd be all right instead. Mm-hmm. So we went there at night and there just happened to be, I don't know whose camper van it is, but there just happened to be somebody in a camper van, which I thought made quite a nice kind of lead in to the Milky Way. So I think that's all me starry type ones. The other thing I've got a bit of a thing about is the Northern Lights, and kind of hunting for the Northern Lights, and I'd always wanted to see them. A friend suggested we went on a cruise in Norway in winter because it was an astronomy cruise. Sounded like a good plan, so that's what we did. We went on the Hurtigruten, which is the Norwegian post boat. So it's not really a cruise ship. It's a bit of a funny combination of a cruise ship, a working ferry, and like a cargo ship. So it drops all the post and all of the stuff off all the way up the coast to the places that become inaccessible by road in the winter. They take passengers on there clearly, and lots of the Norwegians use it as like a drop-off. So there were people getting on with broken legs who were going to hospitals, kind of three towns up and stuff. But it was a very peculiar mix of people and things, but it made it really, really interesting. You tend to get quite a lot of short stops. You don't tend to stay anywhere for a very long time, which is that is a bit of an issue when there's some places that you would want to stay for a bit longer. But it was a really interesting way to have a look at Norway, and a relatively cheap way to do it because you get all of your meals on board, and Norway is horrendously expensive to buy food out. So it was actually quite a bargain. So this is in Tromsø. And that's the Arctic Cathedral, which actually isn't a cathedral, it's a church. The cathedral is in the middle of the town. And that's a beautiful city. I would have loved to have spent a bit longer there. When you go into the Arctic Circle, they have like a ceremony as you cross into the Arctic Circle. There's a competition. You have to guess when you're going to cross. And then there's this ceremony where King Neptune with a dodgy mask on and the captain of the ship come out and you get a ladle full of iced water poured down your back. So, that's a guy that we became really good friends with. He was an Australian guy called Steve, who was also on the astronomy part of the tour with us. He was a really good laugh. I have got pictures of me having this done to me as well, but clearly I didn't take them, so I didn't put them on. But it was exceedingly cold. And then they warm you up by giving you a little bit of cloudberry schnapps afterwards to warm you up as you celebrate going into the Arctic Circle. So I'd never seen the Northern Lights before I went there. And they're so confident that you'll see them on one of these cruises that they'll give you a 7-day free cruise if they aren't spotted while you're on board. You can choose to have an alarm in your room that will go off if they see them from the bridge.
Right.
So that was the first time I'd ever seen them. And that wasn't visible to the naked eye at all. It was, you know, that was, I think, an 8-second exposure. But I'd been stood outside kind of all night, every night, pressing the button, hoping for something to happen. And finally, because the first few days, the weather was absolutely dreadful. We got hit by a hurricane. About 20% of the people on the ship got off and said they weren't getting back on again. You couldn't see a thing. So it took about a week before we could see anything. It then got a bit stronger and this was visible, kind of to the naked eye. And while the stars are kind of blurry on there because of the movement of the ship, I quite like that one. It just, I don't know, I kind of get solitude from it. So I've got no idea who the person is who stood still for me for 5 seconds in the jacket, but it was, again, very nice of them.
Is that the 12mm lens, Trez?
Yes, it will be, yeah.
Yeah, it looks pretty wide, that.
Yeah, no, that is the 12, because I still had my old camera then, yeah. But again, if you're going to try and take pictures of the Northern Lights, doing it from a moving ship is probably not the best plan. Because you need the exposure to be a certain. So, you know, even that one, the stars are a little bit dodgy. And, you know, I like the shapes and things, but realistically, most of them look like that. You know, they were up and down all over the place. I've got hundreds of pictures with seagull stars on them. You know, it was absolutely ridiculous. But by then I kind of had the bug a bit because it's just, I don't know, I just find it absolutely amazing and fascinating. So I wanted to see them again, as you do when you get the bug. But, you know, Scandinavia is an expensive place to go. So I downloaded some apps on my phone that would alert us if there was any activity that was likely to be close enough to here. And again, partially just through pure luck, we were staying at a friend's caravan and sea houses when it buzzed and went off. And I thought, well, the weather's been rubbish, so there's no chance.
Wow.
But I thought, well, I'll go out and see. So there's like a little bench. I'm sure everybody recognises where that is. There's like the little hermit's hut thing there. And there was just this bank of cloud, but actually you could visibly see. And it just looked a bit like low cloud. You know, it wasn't green to the eye, but I thought, that's not cloud. You could see the stars through it. So I sat out for a bit and took some in. Yeah, so that's sea houses. The people in the caravan next to us were walking back with the dog, and I was like, there's Northern Lights there. They were like, nah, it's not. I was like, honestly, it is. They're like, nah, it's not. Okay, fine, it's not. So yeah, that's a 10-second exposure. It's still with that 12mm lens. ISO is about 4,000 there. And they get a bit tricky to, I'm not very good at post-processing. I've never quite got the hang of it. So I do what I can with them. The things that get a bit tricky are, clearly when you've got things that have got lights. So if you've got stuff with lights in it, you sometimes need to bring the highlights down a bit just to stop them from blowing out. You have to try and set your exposure so if anything, it's a bit underexposed so that you can bring stuff up, because if the activity gets quite high, it just blows everything out and you can't see anything at all. And if anything, I think a lot of people think that you bump up the saturation and the vibrance on them. Actually, if anything, I find that you tend to need to take it down a little bit because it just looks really garish. Sometimes it looks as if you've made it up. So these were the same night. It was, you know, not a particularly strong aurora, but you have got like a little spike there. And that was just as it was going, just as the cloud cleared, the aurora went away as well, which was a little bit annoying. But never mind, that's the luck of the draw, isn't it? I went out and hunted the next night as well, but there was nowt happening. So we then planned a trip to Iceland. And having been back since, I've realised now how absolutely lucky we were that first time we went to Iceland. So this is Reykjavik, the first night that we got there, from the balcony of the flat that we were staying in. And it danced for hours. And I just kind of sat outside on the balcony and didn't get much sleep. We'd already been kind of to a lighthouse to see if we could spot it, and there was nothing. And sure enough, as soon as we got home and we'd had a beer and we couldn't go back out again, there it was again. So the green is, you get different colours depending on what element it is that's kind of losing energy. So the northern lights happen as kind of charged particles come from the sun, hit the magnetic field and the atmosphere, and it kind of excites electrons. And as they go back to their normal state, they release a photon of light. So oxygen that's quite low down in the atmosphere releases green. If it's quite high up, it releases red. And nitrogen tends to do kind of blues and purples.
That's how MRI scanners work, Tred.
Well, that's it, Dave. And neon lights, yes.
What month was that, Tred?
That was February. So, you know, you do have to be lucky, but to a certain extent, you create some of your own luck, don't you? So you try and go when there's a new moon so that the moon doesn't blow it out in a month when it's dark. You tend to get peaks of sun activity around the spring and the autumn equinox. And the sunspot activity goes on an 11-year cycle. So you get like peaks where you get years that it's stronger than others, generally. The next one's 2022. And it tends to peak and then be still quite good for a couple of years, and then it falls to a zenith. So this last year has been rubbish, absolutely rubbish. And then it peaks again. So that was the same night. We then went way far east, up towards where kind of the ice beach and the diamond beach of people who've been to Iceland before is. And that was, so Kevin will have a laugh at this. This was in the backyard of the place that we stayed, which was a bit like Bates Motel. They wouldn't feed us. And I fell over and which made for an exceedingly painful remainder of the holiday, I can tell you. But the photos were quite pretty, so we'll let them off.
Wow.
So that's kind of further back in, back towards Reykjavik, so that's at Skógafoss. It's just like the arc, so that they make different shapes depending on what the magnetic field's doing. I'm sure also quite like an MRI machine, Dave. So these are known as arcs, just kind of the, not just arcs of green light. That was with a longer lens. You can see I'm starting to get star trails in there. That's because that was with a, I had two cameras with me. So this is the same crop sensor that I'd used in Norway. But this had a 55 mil lens on it. And even in just a kind of 10 second exposure, you're starting to get a bit of star trailing on there. These are then like rays. So you get these spikes and rays, and when they get kind of closer together like that, and they almost look like they're pulsing, and you quite often then get a massive big burst of activity just after that's happened. So this, I'm going to show a very quick time lapse at the end, which isn't that far away. Don't worry, I'm not go too far over. But yeah, a lot of them are from this, and it's not a particularly pretty place otherwise, but that's the window in the hotel that I had to climb out of to set my camera up out the back for a time lapse.
There's not many climbed out of a hotel window with a broken coccyx in Iceland.
I know. Well, I was on a mission, Kevin, what can I tell you? This was the last place that was stayed. So this is back towards Reykjavik. This is near Thingvellir. And it was just this little farmhouse. It was an Airbnb. A really little place in the middle of nowhere, absolutely in the middle of nowhere. And this was the back garden. to Kevin's disgust, I set up my cameras and left them out overnight because they weren't good. Well, they weren't going to get nicked. And I had an intervalometer on them, and I had an external battery pack, and even had like a lens hood warmer, which only lasted for a certain length of time. So you'll see in the time lapse there is one point where the front lens of the camera freezes. But yeah, Kevin was slightly horrified that I was leaving it out overnight. It was fine. No harm came to it. It was insured. That's kind of just to show the, like, the more ready colour that you can get with that higher level oxygen. And some of the different shapes. So you do just get kind of spirals and massive big curtains. And that's a corona. So the corona is kind of when the activity gets really high and it looks as if it's coming from, it's right above you, kind of in all directions. So we were exceedingly lucky to see that. It was phenomenal. And again, you can just see the Pleiades just in there. This is my house. So I got back from Iceland and was feeling a bit sad. And about a month later, so this is March, March 2016. Again, it pinged and said, go and have a go. So I think I was at work the next day, so I didn't go very far. I just went down into the garden to see if it was joking. But I'm not sure there's many photos around that have got palm trees and northern lights in one picture.
Enchanted.
Only in Stanley can these two things coexist. Yeah. This is when we went back to Iceland for my 40th. We were there for a whole week. The weather was absolutely dreadful. And this is the only single picture that I've got with the northern lights in them. For the whole week, because the weather was just absolutely awful. We had a fantastic time. It was hilarious, but the nighttime photography was a complete washout. But what makes that fun sometimes is the people you have with you, isn't it? So this is some of my mates who decided we'd try and get in with the northern lights. The cloud was fast coming in and you can just see a tiny bit there. But we had a whale of a time taking it. Me and Kevin outside our little farmhouse. This was us trying to get a picture from this lighthouse. This is some of the gang that were there for my 40th. That doesn't look too bad, but somebody on their phone managed to catch us about. Just notice what my coat looks like. This is about 30 seconds beforehand. Set the cameras up in a blizzard. The driver thought we were absolutely mental, and we probably were. But sometimes you have to take a risk, don't you? So we went up to that lighthouse and went round the back because the wind was coming from behind us. And that's when I got that.
Lovely, that.
The lighthouse had a weird, it had like a movement-activated light kind of behind it, so whenever anybody walked there, this light went off and it created this weird double shadow. So you got a shadow on the beach and you got a shadow in the sky and kind of all the snow was blowing in towards it. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it was really weird. It was there for ages. So we stayed for ages and we took some pictures of it. It was the only place where you could get any shelter from the hurricane force wind that was trying to blow us off. So we stood there for 10 minutes and caught our breath before we tried to run back to the minibus. And sometimes you get pictures when you're looking for stuff, don't you, that you don't find, but you find something else instead. So this was a Northern Lights hunting night up at Housesteads. There wasn't a sniff of anything that was green, but you could see the Milky Way relatively well because it was clear. And I thought I'd wait until the car went past to see if it would light that tree up. And it did, so I was relatively pleased with that. And this one was on a... this was in Norway on one of the nights that we couldn't see anything, where we got a dog sled ride to a dark place where we couldn't see anything for a couple of hours. But actually, I quite like having a slightly longer exposure on the dog sled ride. I think just...
like that.
I got that feeling of movement in it that I quite liked. So that's all the photos, but I'll see if I can show you. We're not entirely sure. Gerben's not sure if this is going to work, but I'm going to try and show you just a quick time lapse, if that's all right. Is that okay?
Yeah, go for it.
Sure.
Right, let's see if this works. There's no music or anything, so feel free to talk amongst yourselves.
It looks good.
I never know what music to put there.
The sick dress.
The Planets could be a good one.
I could have done, yeah, could have done The Planets. I wonder about putting some Björk or something on, you know, something Icelandic.
Yeah, it's a good Trez.
Yeah.
I met a guy called Dave Sinden, who was a cousin of Donald Sinden, the actor.
Right.
And he was into all this. He used to build telescopes, and him and my brother built telescopes. And he said he used to see the Northern Lights most nights just up at Throckley when he got home.
Right.
And also, Flint Hill's a very good place.
Flint Hill?
I've watched him at Flint Hill. But Brian Curry has a mate called Gary Linton. He's been on TV and all sorts of things, presenting stuff like this. And he would come to the club, but he might even do a Zoom one if there was enough interest.
I've spoken to Linton a few times. He does a lot of Weardale and Teesdale.
Yeah.
Nighttime photography around Killip Wheel and all that sort of stuff. But he has very, very fancy equipment. Wow. Take out the movement of the earth and all that.
That's impressive.
Yeah. That's impressive.
We might have to come, you're right.
Mm. Yeah, we should do.
Ex-member Peter King's quite into this as well.
Yes.
You can see some of the purples and stuff just coming in there as it gets a bit stronger.
Yeah,
super.
Chris, can you hear me now?
Yes, Peter.
Have you seen the, if you like, this taking photos of the sky? Have you seen the recent documentary on the Hubble telescope?
Yes, I did. It was fabulous.
That was amazing. Makes you feel a bit sick, doesn't it?
It's phenomenal. They're about to send a new one up, aren't they?
Yeah, we try and focus on something a few yards away, and they're focusing on stuff which is something like 20,000 light years away.
It's incredible, isn't it?
They changed the lens a few years ago, didn't they? Hubble changed the lens. There was one of these IMAX 3D films I saw in London, changing the lens, and these things can get the photograph through the black hole. Absolutely fantastic. Yeah. But the original lens was about 30 or 40 year old, and they put a sharper lens in.
It wasn't sharp. The ones they put in originally, they needed to.
Well, that was back in the day, wasn't it? I mean,
yeah, things when it first went off. Yeah.
It sounds like Peter's up there now.
I'm very conscious of the time, chaps. Does anybody want to ask Trez any questions? Because Trez, that was tremendous. Thank you very much. Anybody want to ask Trez a question or two while we're looking at these lovely images of the Northern Lights?
Yeah, I'd just quickly ask, do you know what the name of the app for the Northern Lights like notifications is called?
Yeah, there's loads of them. Aurora Pro is quite good.
Right.
And there's Lancaster University have got one. They'll all send alerts and emails and stuff.
Right.
Okay. So, yeah, there's loads of them. I can catch up with them.
Are they free, Trez?
Most of them are free to look at, but if you want them to send you alerts, they're often like a couple of quid a year.
Because you can get them for the galaxies and the satellites and all sorts, can't you?
You can, yeah. So kind of Skywalk and Sky Safari and things like that are great to help you orientate yourself to where you're expected to see kind of Milky Way and all that kind of stuff. And they'll let you know about meteor showers and stuff. They'll remind you.
Right.
Yeah, they're great.
Thank you very much.
Can I just say, David, I've been watching these on my PC, so I've got the bigger screen, and I'm so pleased that I have.
Yeah.
The quality of them's fantastic.
Superb, aren't they?
The feeding really well as well.
It's nearly finished. I think my lens is about to freeze.
Trez, thank you so much. That's really good. So interesting, so different, and wonderful to hear and see you on a Friday night. Hopefully,
Did you keep a hold of the wine, David?
I've still got some left.
Very good. They're lens frozen.
Tremendous, thank you.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Thank you,
Trez. Enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Trez, thank you, Trez.
Thank you for listening. Wow.
We've all enjoyed it very much.
Thank you.
So, Trez, thank you. We'll move now on to Trez, who's going to give us his sixpenneth worth. Thank you very much indeed.
Right. First thing I've got to say is follow that.
Indeed.
anyway, I'll give you a little bit of history about myself. I took up photography around about 1970s because I was given the camera off my older brother. It was a vivid or, but anyway, camera's a camera, so I bought a couple of books on photography, taught myself it through printing and developing, started taking photographs. And then I joined a camera club. First camera club I joined was Gateshead. I met up with a guy called Ray Rayner.
Yeah, I know Raymond.
Yeah.
He's a real genuine guy.
Mm-hmm.
He helped me out a hell of a lot. But you move on. Yes. I decided to get rid of the Vivitar. I went over to Minolta cameras, which weren't too bad. And then changed over to Canon. I got a Canon D60 and Canon D70. And most of these photographs were taken on the Canon D60. So anyway, I decided in my 60s to go back to college and learn more about photography. I was there for 4 years. So I learned quite a bit. It made me very happy. I got a HNC. But I was quite pleased with myself.
Okay. Absolutely.
Anyway, when I take photographs, I generally stay with F11, F8, ISO about 200. There's always places like this, always got a polarizing filter on. And just let things happen. Look for good scenes and all the rest of it. So anyway, this one looks a bit blurred. Shouldn't be, but still. I process my photographs in Photoshop. The last Photoshop I had was CS5. I now use CC. It's a bit different, but it's worth it. So we'll start looking at the photographs. Got to see the next image, Gerben. This is a dead tree I came across on the rim of the Grand Canyon. And I thought it would be a good photograph. The blue sky behind it makes it stand out. I really like that one. One of my favourites. Hey, Gerben, can I have the next one? This again is the Grand Canyon. I was just moving around all the time, getting different angles, see the way the light was falling in different places. When I take a photograph, I try to do everything I need to do in camera. I never add anything in or take anything out. you get it as the camera sees it. And it's kept me going. It's something me for quite a few years. Next one, Gerben. Apparently, this is quite a famous shot. Loads of people have took this photograph with that dead tree there. I can't say that I blame them because it's a lovely place.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to believe it, that canyon's nearly 20 miles wide, 26 in places.
Yeah, mate.
Next one, Gerben. This is just another angle of the part. You can see the sheer size of the place and the depth.
When were you there, Les?
Pardon?
When were you there? What year?
About 4 years ago.
Hmm.
Maybe me and Tom was there with us. Took the track. We went down into the canyon as far as we could. And we were stopped by a group of guys who were doing a survey for National Geographic. We're doing a count on the condors. So we hung around talking to them for a while. And then one of them said, "I've got to fire a gun to get the condors to rise." Never seen anything like it. Just absolutely amazing. They're enormous. I would say they were bigger than most eagles.
Right.
Next one, Gerben, please. I thought I'd put a few trees in the picture, put a bit more colour into this one. But it doesn't matter why you take your photograph of the Grand Canyon. It looks totally different. This one was taken fairly early in the morning. Got up early and went to take some photographs. It's got the bluey look about it, but I think it looks quite nice. Next one, Gerben, please. You know, this tree here on the top, when we were coming back out of the canyon, I noticed the tree. So I photographed it from where I was, and then we just kept walking up. But when you're in the canyon, there's notices telling you that if you took an hour to get here, they'll allow 2 hours to get back out. But anyway, we made our way back to the top. And I went to have a look at that tree, and it's grown out of that crack. And when I got up closer, it was quite bigger. Next one, Gerben, please. Another view of the canyon. You can see the track going along the bottom. There was actually people trekking along there. It must have been very warm because the further you get into the canyon, it gets really foisty and sticky and humid. But it was worth it. Next one, Gerben, please. It's a totally different view of the canyon. I like the trees there. The colour of stonework under different lighting conditions. The strata seems to change colour. You've always got a lovely blue sky. It's polarizer on the camera the whole time. Next one, Gerben, please. Right, this is my first shot in Norway. This is the Bakkespiten in Bergen. Now that was practically blacked out altogether. But using Photoshop, I've brought it back. It's come up much better than I thought it would. It's quite a busy place. And I notice all the buildings is wood structures. And they're quite quaint. Nice to look at. Next one, Gerben, please. This is in the harbour at Bergen. Again, I had to use a polarizer because of the bright colours. Nice to get the reflections.
It's amazing you had a day like that in Bergen, Les.
Pardon?
It's amazing you had a day like that in Bergen. It normally rains about 350 days a year, doesn't it?
Well, we were there in April. Well, I'd went there. Obviously, they have a trip up the fjords and see the glacier. And we were told to wrap up and keep warm. When we got to the glacier, the sun was reflecting off the glacier. What, take my coats off? It's like like a summer's day.
Yes, I had a summer day every day for a fortnight. The sunshine, it's too hot.
Right. I was swimming and sipping champagne while I was up there, sitting back looking at the mountains. Fantastic, red hot.
It chucked it down while we were in Bergen.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Next one, Gerben, please. That's a main street in Bergen, as you can see, all wood buildings. Different colours, really nice, nice to look at, really nice to be there.
Mm-hmm. Called the Bergen, isn't it?
Pardon?
It's called the Bergen.
All right.
The quayside, yeah.
Next one, Gerben, please. The same place, more or less, but further along the road. As I say, quite a few people moved around. Really bright day. These people were walking around in their short sleeves, shorts on. Those Brits were freezing. Next one, Gerben, please. This is on the beach at the fort. The first thing that caught my eye was this huge rock. It's absolutely enormous. It makes you wonder how they got there. Because the rock face, the hill at the side, there's nothing even resembling that rock. Makes you wonder where they came from. Well, I had to take the photograph. The heavy shadow at the bottom, I couldn't do anything with that. But it's not too bad. Next one, Gerben, please. Another one on the main street. As you can see, there's quite a few people knocking around. Quite expensive, the shops.
Yeah.
Look at the things that you would normally buy in this country. hell of a lot dearer. I couldn't do anything about the lamppost.
Moved.
Next one, Gerben, please. This is the beach at the Fortin, looking out. I particularly like the low cloud going in between the mountains, so to speak. I really thought that was nice. I thought about doing it in black and white, but I'm not sure yet. Plenty of cloud on that day. You see the size of the people next to that rock on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
It's an idea what the background's like for height and size. Next one, Gerben, please. I like the lead-in with this particular one, with the Fulton Islands. I like the skies. I thought I'd have sixpence of that. I didn't get to those buildings in the distance, so I haven't got a clue what they were, but some people are saying I should take them out. I said, no, they're in the photograph, they're staying. But I quite like that one. Next one, Gerben, please. These rocks in the foreground, they're quite big as well. The one in the immediate foreground. I was resting my feet against that, steadying myself, because I never use a tripod, not unless it's absolutely necessary. So most of these photographs, seeing a handheld. Sometimes change the filter. Normally I just leave polarized filter. I think the colors is quite nice, I like that. Next one, Gerben, please. Well, obviously that's offshore. I just like the two peaks sticking up. Look really nice. And that's a seagull or some sort of seabird there. And it was in the photograph. I didn't put it in. Got a pastel colour look about it. I quite like that one as well. Right, Gerben, the next one, please.
That's nice.
That's a sunrise taken from the ship, as you can see by the water, the foreground. Quite nice. The colours were really nice.
The ripples in the water, sort of. The ripples in the water complement the clouds in the sky in the right.
Really nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Next one, Gerben, please. What took my eye in this one was the amount of rock. We hauled work over that. You can see the buildings in the foreground. You can see them a bit better than what it was in the last photograph. But still don't know what they are. But I like the cloud structure in this one as well. The sea's nice and blue. That'll be with the polarized and everything. Next one, Gerben, please.
You know.
at the view between the mountains, still the beach there. And it was really bright. I've tried to dull it down a bit, but that's about as low as I can get it. But it's okay, it's a good view, so I'm quite happy with that.
Is that nets hanging there, drying?
Pardon?
Is it, the nets on the post there, are they nets hanging and drying? Just wondering what they were.
Like sailcloth. I don't know what they were there for. But that green stands out, doesn't it?
Mm.
Next one, Gerben, please. That's a view up the fjord. Again, taken from the boat. It was very, very bright. Had to darken it down a bit. But it gives you an idea what the place is like. I think it's one of the cleanest, or probably the cleanest country I've ever been in. Absolutely spotless. Fantastic.
Were you on a ferry or a cruise?
On a cruise?
It looks quite narrow. It must have been a small ship.
Well, the fjord was quite wide, but I don't think we got past this point.
They're often quite deep.
Yeah.
Oh, they're deep. Well, the Germans used to stash their submarines there, didn't they, Roy?
In quite a lot of the fjords, yeah. On V-Day, we passed quite a whole lot of them.
Next one, Gerben, please.
Mm.
Doesn't say that's a waterfall. I was trying to blur the water a little bit. As I say, I was hand-holding it. The waterfall is much higher than what you see there. It's really a hell of a height. But I got that bit, I was quite pleased with it. I like the colour of the rocks behind it. Next one, Gerben, please. No, we're into Wales now. The polarizer came straight off the camera. Because of the conditions. We'd hired a cottage in Powys and we decided we'd take a trip to the National Park, Snowdonia National Park. And I took them all in colour, but kind of this one in black and white. I like the clouds hanging over the top of the hills. Quite good, I think. But all of it, the whole time you're twisting and turning all the time. Next one, Gerben, please. This place, this the area here, really rugged. I think there's a lot of loose slate in the area.
I've been swimming in streams like that when I was younger. I didn't have a bathing costume on at the time, mind you. But it was really, really cold.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Too much information.
it was good fun, though. It was good fun.
Does that mean you have got a bathing costume on now?
No. I don't have one at all.
What? Ray, you're making me nervous. I'll think twice before going out with you again on a
top of the sea. As long as you don't go down a valley with a river, you're all right.
Next one, Gerben, please.
Yes, I think you should continue.
That's the same view. I left it in colour.
I like the colour.
Mm-hmm. It's like Keswick over to Grasmere, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Doesn't get as cloudy as that, I don't think. It was a freezing cold day that day. I wouldn't like to get that.
The water's rose freezing cold in Wales.
This is just a stream I took from the roadside. Oh. It just says one thing to me. Bloody freezing.
I can tell you a couple of stories about that, but I'm not.
Right, Kirby, this one, we went into Harlech Castle expecting to see something spectacular, and all we got was ruins. So it took some to say I'd been there, and this is the result. You can see by the blue sky in the top, it was a really bright, clear day. I quite like that. There's a lot of detail there. Next one, Gerben, please. Oh, this is in Snowdonian National Park. Quick shot from the side of the road. I really like that. Not because I took a photograph, because that area is absolutely beautiful. Really startling. The colours are nice. Ooh. Next one, Gerben, please.
Never seen that one.
Can you skip that one, Gerben? You've done that one.
Yep. Yeah.
Next one, Gerben, please. Oh, this is what is an ex-miner. I would say it was a slag heap, it's a spoil heap. It's absolutely enormous. Oh, this is the road back from Snowdonia. But we're home to go up the mountain, but torrential rain, and the little train, the funicular, wasn't running, so we turned round and came back.
Ain't any time in Wales.
Are you right there, Roy? Next one, Gerben, please. And this the long and winding road back over the through the valleys. This was obviously colour, but I've turned it black and white. So curious to know what the black and white aficionados think of it. Are we Ed? Any good?
No comment.
You should put it into the critique evening in a couple of weeks, next week, and see what folk think.
Mm-hmm. All right.
You've never lost it, Les, with a black and white.
Who said that?
Peter.
All right.
Looks like a motorcyclist's road to me. You can imagine a hearing a motorcyclist.
It's one of those bends. When you go around the bend, you find a dead motorcyclist.
Yeah. Les.
There's a car past us once. He was going far too fast. And I said to my wife, I says, when we get round the bend, he'll be in the field. And he was. Going straight through the fence.
all cars go too fast these days, don't they?
I think that's it.
Is it?
Yes.
Leslie, thank you very much for your tour of the mountains, really. Very good.
Did I get 20 minutes?
Oh, you've had more.
More than that.
You've had more. Unfortunately, yeah. So this is Fred. Thank you very much, Les.
Thank you, Les.
Fred, thank you very much for agreeing to take part tonight.
Oh, you're welcome. I hope I don't go over the 20 minutes.
Don't worry. people leave the meeting and it's just you by yourself. You know you've gone over too long.
Yes. Like that.
I've run out of beer.
I'm going to say goodnight, guys. Well, I decided I wasn't going to inflict just a series of pictures on people. I took up the bit that maybe I should try and tell people how or even why I attempted to get what I eventually got on this one. And this is a subject that actually I got interested in probably about a year ago, to be honest. And is it architecture? I think it starts off at architecture. And then the more I looked into it, it suddenly became, it was somebody else's fine art. And I never did understand exactly what they meant by fine art. And in fact, in some cases, it's just plain black and white. So... Next slide, Gordon.
Gordon? Yeah. Well, Doctor Who.
Right, well, this is actually what sort of set me off in a way. This was a Doctor Who episode, and it was actually about little robots called Smiles. And if you didn't smile, they got rid of you. it was the
Germinate.
Yes, they exterminated you. What got me about it was the building in the background, and it was shot in this place. And I thought this place was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Thought the architecture was brilliant. And I had to do a bit of research. Next picture, German, please. And wow. I found out that... from our friend on the internet, that it was actually shot here in Valencia, and this is the Museum of Arts and Science, and I've never been there. I would love to have gone there, or I'd really love to be there. And I think one or two members have probably already been there, and it would be a lovely place to go and photograph. But I don't know whether I'd like all the other people there with their cameras. So that's Valencia. Right. I then picked up on Sky Arts. I got to watch a series of programs on architecture. And move the next picture. This is another one. This one is in New York, and I certainly know David's been there.
And Oculus.
The Oculus. And it's actually the hub, the transport hub, and goes down to, is it the metro station underneath?
The subway, yeah.
Subway, yes. And I thought, well, this is fantastic as well. The only thing is, it's in blinking New York. And the metro station doesn't seem to have any stations like that. So I started looking on the internet again, if we move to the next picture, Kirvin, and started looking up different people. And I've got three pictures here. This one is taken from the website of a lady called Julia Ann Gospodaru, if I pronounce that right, who's actually, I think she's an architect in her own right, and she's a very good photographer as well. And her pictures... she tends to concentrate on the dramatic or the drama side, And this is, and I thought these were actually fantastic. Mm-hmm. They're black and white, but they are brilliant. And then it set me around to look for one or two more. And I then found a website by a lad called Ben Harvey. Right, next picture, please, Gerben. This is Ben's, from Ben's website. And these have the benefit, the buildings have the benefit, the majority of them are actually in this country. The place on the top left, I certainly know, is up at Glasgow. And I think that's a museum as well. But occasionally, Ben doesn't just tell you how he takes the pictures, he actually tells you what his post-processing is as well. Mm. And but I think quite a bit of it Ben actually does in the camera. He's certainly got a big 10 stopper and then I think another 6 stopper, and quite often I think you put them together and then you get the long exposures. You end up with, if you put a filter on, the filter on the sky as well, neutral density, like a half a film, you can get the sky dark, you can get the streaks into the clouds, because your exposure times are up in the 15 and 30 seconds or more, or minutes. So I quite like these. I also found the next picture, Gerben, please. This is a website called JC Images. Now, he's got the disadvantage, he's American, but he actually doesn't seem a bad lad, this fella. He not only tells you where the pictures are, he takes you through how he set his camera up, what he's got set on it, what his settings are, and also then quite often he takes you back to his study and he goes through the post-processing, and he goes through it in quite detail as well, so that you can actually follow him, because I found with some of the other websites, they say there's a tutorial there, but when you get there, you find you can't follow it. It gets you so far, and then there's a vital step that they actually quite forget to tell you, or they decide to play it back at 10 times the speed, and I haven't worked out a way of slowing it down enough to be able to be able to copy. Anyway,
Fred, is that JC Images or SC Images? It's Gerben's little screen thing is over the top of the...
It's
the
my screen thing.
JC Images.
Thanks.
Sorry.
But here's that. I would recommend, if you want to go, have a look at his site. Mm-hmm. Not only you see the pictures in daylight, you see the pictures as he's taken them, and then he takes you through the post-processing and you see how it ends up. And that's, I thought, what I'd like to do here. So I started off and I thought, well, the thing that we have got here is we have got a city. So next picture, Gerben. So I took my camera, or at least on two occasions I went in. This is the pocket camera that I've got, which is actually quite a good one. And I decided I wanted to get something that looked dramatic. And it meant that I wanted to get maybe the angles were unusual. But I went to the university. I knew there were one or two buildings on the university site that I could see some picture developing from it. So I took this down, and this is the Verde building. It's it's a nice green building. I think it's student accommodation.
Yeah.
It's got quite, at either end of it, it's actually got quite dramatic endings. This is a very sharp end. That's a very sharp angle. That's much shorter than 90 degrees, like you normally expect on a building. So I went, and this was the picture, to get this sort of the drama that I wanted of a triangular almost picture going up to a point. This was the picture that I took. And you can see there are lampposts in the way. Luckily, there weren't any students in the way. So that's good. I didn't have my cameras handheld. There were no long exposures on this. This was just as the camera saw it, on aperture priority. So this was the Verde building. So I decided I would try and see whether I could actually convert this into something approaching what I'd been seen and what I'd liked on the internet. So next picture, Gerben.
Right, is that in the science park?
No, it's on the, it's actually, it's almost at St. James's Park.
It's the old Scottish and Newcastle Brewery.
It's the old brewery.
Yeah. Well, that's the science park, isn't it?
Is it? Well, it may be when it gets over there. This, certainly this is directly opposite. If you go to St. James Park and look across the road, there's first of all, you notice the big blue building, and then just up to its right, you'll notice the green building, and the green building's the Verde building. So
makes me wonder about the shape of the rooms inside.
Yeah, well, yes, I think you can see on the building where there's a window aperture in there, and you'll notice on the left-hand side, there are no windows on there, or very few on there.
Mm.
And but I don't know what these apartments are like. Let's face it, students pay enough.
Students' apartments, yeah.
Student apartments.
Fancy being a carpet fitter.
This was what I took the first.
A lot of waste, wasn't there?
The first picture, I've converted it to this. I've trimmed it down, and I've ended up with a much smaller image because I had a smallish aperture and it's obviously a good camera. It's a very sharp image even at this magnification.
Yeah.
So, okay. So
I like the tree on the bottom right there. It kind of makes you wonder about it.
Yeah, mind, when you went over the picture that I was aiming at, the tree was a nuisance.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And the building on the left was a nuisance.
I think it's sort of kind of big.
To get rid of.
Puts it in reality, really.
They actually, in some ways, they're not very different. The lamppost was the hardest to get rid of. That I had to rely an awful lot on good old Photoshop. So anyway, that's the picture I've started with, and I now want to go on, and I want to do the next. Thank you, Gerben. The first bit is think. Well, I'm going to try and change this picture. So, and I want to apply. I want different parts of the building to look different. I don't want them just plain. I want them black and white. So one of the first things I do is I go to in the select pull down on Photoshop. You can go down and near the bottom of there, you'll see two things, load selection and save selection. If you go through selection on Photoshop, on a picture like that, I would take, say, the left-hand side of the building, and I would do a selection on that. Luckily with buildings, they're normally straight edged. So selections are actually quite easy to do. But once I had a selection, I would then save it and I would call it something like left side, right side, depending, something easier, right? The second one I would think about is getting rid of the sky. It's not the way I want it. It's sort of it's nice and fluffy and blue and white, or gray and white as would come out as, but I want something that's far, far more dramatic. So I just kind of, now on this building, you see, I've actually got four selections made. Now, the thing about selections is, you can, once you've saved them, you can call them up to use them again. And you can simply call up, say, the left side of the building. And if you want that side to be brighter than the right side of the building, then you can run one of the adjustments on just on that particular bit and perform your magic, or Photoshop performs its magic on there. Next picture, Gervin. Right.
Wow.
With everything, you end up with a lot of layers. Now, this is what I found is Photoshop has got many ways of actually doing the same thing. And actually going into the likes of black and white, you find there's just as many in this. You can load up selection. I could take it into silver effects because I'm working on black and white.
Is that the Nick filters?
That's the Nick filters, yes. You can do gradient fills just on that particular part. You can build up things in like that. And then you change the lighting effect. Probably about third from the top, you can see I've got like a very thin lighting effect on the just about on the edge of the building, just to make it quite sharp. So that really allows you to build the picture up in chunks, really. And then you end up with thinking, well, yeah, and I've still got that awful sky. Oh, I did have the sky. I've actually taken the sky out. So next picture, Gordon. No, we skip that one. Right. If I want to do a sky, then okay, I go to another part where occasionally, if there are nice skies outside, I get my camera, I go outside, and I'll just take a snapshot or two. And I end up with just sky pictures like this, purely with the thing of actually maybe using them sometime in the future. And maybe this is one. So I've got here a picture, it's blue and it's white. Nothing else, well, grays a little bit. Okay, next picture, Gervin, please. So in Photoshop, I go to the black and white section, I convert it to black and white. And when you've done that, you end up with this drop-down menu, which allows you to adjust the color element, the contribution to the picture of whatever's on there. And what you'll do is you get hold of your blues, and you will move the slider all the way to the left. So you're completely taking away all of the blue element in the picture. And if you take it away, then you're left with the black. So I've now got a black picture. What I do here as well, I sometimes take out the cyan as well and do exactly the same with that. Take it out. The other ones don't really have any effect. So that I've now got a black and white picture. So if you click on OK, right, and we'll move on to the next screen, Gervin. And what I want to do now is I don't want a fluffy black and white cloud section on there. If you remember what I said, I wanted to do, I would like a blurred sky. Now, if I'd been using a 10, you know, a big stopper, then I might have had a blue sky converted to a blurred sky in the camera, but I didn't have that. So I go into filters and go down to blur, and then go down the list for blur and go to motion blur. And then that brings up the settings for it brings up a little window all of its own. You can set the angle, you can set the percentage of blur that you put on there. And if you wind it right up to maximum, then you should end up with maybe something like the next slide, Gervin. Right, so there we've got really just something. It's black and it's bands it's bands of gray. What I would do normally is play around with that and bring up the gray until I've got something a bit brighter than that. But I'd end up with that. And I would actually then substitute that picture for the blue and white sky in the original picture. So next slide, Gervin, please. So on the left is the picture that I started with, and on the right is the picture that I've actually ended up with. The only bit I haven't, well, the bit I haven't covered is how to get the lamppost out. But really, that's using Photoshop tools, and you know, I find them very, very good. And the rest of the thing virtually comes out on, I mean, the tree comes out because it's part of the sky. It's not on part of the picture I'm trying to picture anyway. Mm-hmm. So, but that's what, and I've ended up with more or less a picture that I've wanted. It's got, to me, it's got drama. It's got something in there that I quite like. It may be strange.
You've actually created, Fred, you've actually created a new castle building to look very much like the Titanic building in Belfast.
Oh, well, maybe. Yes, I haven't been to Belfast.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd just take you through the steps that I've done and to show you that actually it's very, very versatile, this Photoshop. I couldn't do anything like this without it. I certainly couldn't have done it in the olden days when I just had an enlarger and a light.
Very good, Fred.
Yeah.
Really good.
I agree.
So I like that. So can I ask you, Fred, is this what you planned or is this what you came to at the end?
Well,
did you have this in mind or did you just play around and
I had
come to something that you liked?
I had something like this in mind, yes. Mm-hmm. And I was pleased to find the Verde building. I got a picture at this end, which I thought I could use to not quite replicate, but to look similar to one in that Julia Ann Gosparadu website. Hers is far more dramatic and blacker than mine. But this is, I quite liked it. If you go to the other end of the Verde building, it has got, instead of a single sharp edge there, it has a triangular sort of shape. It's quite tall. And in fact, I've used a picture on the other side to actually put in for a competition. I think it was the last round of last year's competition. So they're very good. There are other buildings on this site that you can end up with very nice pictures from. The one I think they call the View, that's the blue building. That's that can be very dramatic. And go behind the blue building and in the center of the site, they've got the chrysalis. The chrysalis, I think that's right, which is black. It's sort of an oval type shape building. It has gold crisp, like gold diamond on the outside and black windows behind it. It's very dramatic on its own right. There's also another one there where it's the building has got an outside, it's not a cladding, it's metal sheeting, but it's perforated. And the perforations run at different angles, and it looks very much like an Isha drawing to me. I think if Isha set out to design a building, then as well as it having one of those never-ending spirals that you never get to the top of, it would have a side just like that. And it looks as though it's built in different angles. It's very good. But I couldn't get the picture I really wanted from that because it still had lots of scaffolding up at the time, lots of fencing around it, and I did get one good picture that I've used on it. But there are enough there. I mean, there's another picture which has got grass growing up the wall. It's a very interesting walk around there.
Mm-hmm.
I think at the moment there'll be no students around there.
Mm-hmm. Well, Fred, thank you very, very much. Right. It's been a wonderful use of dramatic architecture and Photoshop. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
And it's been a wonderful night. Thank you to all our three speakers. We've gone from the night sky in Iceland and various places, and we've been going with to the Grand Canyon in Norway, and now all the way to Newcastle St. James's Park area. So, so thank you all. It's been tremendous because they've been so different, the three speakers. Very interesting evening. Anybody have any comments or anything you want to say?
No, very good evening.
Yeah, very good.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah, my first evening with you. After a succession of webcams that didn't work.
Well, great. Thank you very much.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
It's gone very well. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So next week we've got the critique evening where we've asked members to submit a few photographs for three of our members who are going to look at them with a constructive, critical eye to see how they might improve them. So we're still looking for photographs. Please send them to me in the next few days so I can send them on to the critics concerned. So please, a few more photographs will be gratefully received if you could send them to me for next week's meeting.
Do you want any judge bait?
Anything you like. The weekend after that, we've got our open challenge, which is an open subject competition type of thing. So we're looking for photographs for that. Please send them to Les Hill, this one. And we are going to judge them ourselves on the evening in a sort of a knockout competition to see if that works very well. So please, so images for the critique evening next week and the challenge competition the week after. Please send them, because we are, I think, short of images at the moment. So please send them in. Critique next week to me, the challenge to Les Hill.
How many for the challenge?
Two each. Two for each. Per member. Okie doke.
Yep.
Anybody got anything else to say? So I just thought.
Yeah.
One at a time, Les first, please.
They have to be taken this year as well. It's the subject is 2020.
Yes, thank you. It's an open subject, but the photographs taken in the year 2020.
Not 2020 vision.
No. Somebody else wanted to speak. I'm sorry, I don't know who it was.
Carol,
carry on.
Welcome to Ray, his first night, but also welcome to Keith Kirkland. His first night as well.
I welcomed them earlier on, so yes, yeah. Thank you. Great you've joined us.
I wasn't here early on, I was a bit late. But I'm getting around people, trying to get more people on. I think tonight's been the most people we've had so far.
No, I had 23, I think, last week.
And we've had more tonight.
I think we had 26 at maximum tonight, yeah.
Yeah.
So people are beginning to leave, so thank you very much indeed. And thank you, Carol, for ringing around for.
Yeah.
Anybody else want to say anything? Peter, has you got your hand up, or you just want to go to the toilet?
Which Peter?
You.
No.
Okay, well, that's been a wonderful evening tonight. Such three wonderful and totally different presentations. Thank you to all three of you very much. Trez, Les and Fred, thank you so much. It's been really good.
Yeah. Thanks.
Okay. So on that note, we'll say good night and we'll see you all next week, hopefully.
Yeah.
Photographs in, please.
Thank you.
Hello. Bye.
Good night, all.
Bye.
Good night.
Thanks very much, Gerben.
Good night.
Yeah, thank you, Gerben.
Yeah, thank you.
It's all fine. Recording be soon. Let's see who's last. It's a little game I play.
Not sure how to switch off.
You see. Somebody's got to be last. All right. Thank you. I'll stop the recording now.